Right, I'm rolling.
I'm rolling.
Awesome. I'm going to put my volume even lower because I feel like... Can you speak?
Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
All right, I got you all the way down to 10%.
Cool.
Okay.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, get going.
I'll start. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Hey guys, Dale here. Do you want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, your bench players, and free agent pool. Now, Christian, you may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this?
Well, basically what they do is this app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, CBS leagues. They pull in your actual roster and your league scoring system, which is very important. SquadQL then provides like their waiver and trade recommendations. Then the app gives you rankings each and every week, and it's all based on your league setting. So SquadQL truly is your go-to app for fantasy football this season. Head to squadql.com, download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy optimizer, trusted by over 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free from both the Apple and Android app stores.
Yeah, eat, sleep, fantasy, you rocking with the best. NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts, running backs. Better follow the conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation, we doing what we like. Tune in every week, guaranteed we get it hype. Fantasy football enthusiasts, I know you plan to be joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah, Eat Sleep Fantasy. Eat Sleep Fantasy.
All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Eat Sleep Fantasy Football Podcast, also known as the Michael Jordans of Fantasy Football Podcast. Yes, indeed, that is Christian Brito's voice talking to you right now. I am
this
back.
Is Dale DeMont with Christian Brito.
Holy fuck.
No, it's just me, guys. Just Armando. Didn't mean to trick you.
Oh my god, I'm not going to be able to take this for 45 minutes.
Don't worry, I won't pull out my Dale again.
And also joining me is Armando Crespo. What is up, Armando?
What's up, man? It's been a long time since I've heard your beautiful voice.
I know. I actually I got a couple of where the hell are yous. I got a 5 a.m. phone call from Carl on a Sunday.
I got one from Carl too. He's like, "Armando, we need you. You're the only one who can make this shit happen again. Please." I'm like, "All right, Carl. I'm going to make this happen for you, man."
But anyways, we're back. The reason I said MJ is because we left. You thought we were gone, maybe. Thought we were going to do something else, but we're back. We apologize for missing a few shows. Maybe eventually I'll tell you what happened on my end. Armando almost died, but he recorded, actually, a couple times last week. Dale, I don't know where Dale is. He's somewhere. We don't care.
He makes up excuses. No one.
Yeah.
Fair enough. So but you want to just...
Back. We're here. Back. We're going to do the waiver wire episode. We're going to get right back into the news. And like MJ, man, we just switched numbers. That's it. We just went from the 23 to the 45. Was that what he played when he was a... Was
yeah.
45?
Yeah, let's go with
so
that.
So we're not as good as we used to be, but...
Maybe he went 32. That would make more sense.
I think he was 45 when he played in Washington. Ah, who the fuck cares? I'm not going to start looking that up. Jesus.
Well, we should be looking... We should be the baseball version of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, but we don't do a baseball podcast. Oh, wait.
No, but just the version of him. We don't have to be that.
Oh, okay. So we suck?
But on the inside, we're really good at other stuff, you know, like basketball. Or,
damn sure or, aren't good at owning teams.
No, that's your ass. You talking about...
Hey.
What? Oh,
hey.
Sorry. What? I'm sorry.
I'm going to... Well, except for the league that I forgot to set my lineup, I still might pull that one out if I get 10 points for my kicker. But I'm going to win in every single league this week.
Can I just say something, Brito?
Yeah.
Our writers do really good at fantasy, and all the leagues I'm with the writers are doing really well. And all the leagues that you guys are in, you're not doing really well. So that should tell you, you guys should be reading our articles, not listening to the podcast.
That's
Is that mean?
It's probably fair.
They know what they're doing, man. They know exactly what the fuck they're doing. Clayton, who writes our waiver wire article, he's fucking dominating in every league I'm in with him. Like legit, highest points, best record. It's really annoying.
Yeah, he wiped the floor with me in Dynasty last week. But I wiped the floor with Steven this week, so I don't know what you're talking about.
It was your first win, Brito.
No, it wasn't. I'm 2-3.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. All right. I won't talk too much shit.
I'm doing okay in that league.
Yeah. All right. Had a rough week in that league.
I drafted Odell Beckham as my first round pick. Finally did some stuff for me this week.
Yeah, he bailed me out in one league. I want to just jump into this thing because there's a lot of news to talk about.
Oh, Dynasty League. I traded for two first round picks, and my two first round picks were Le'Veon Bell and Odell Beckham. That's why I'm 2-3 in that league.
That's awful.
Hey, I've made some trades. I traded Lev Bell, and I basically traded him for Kareem Hunt and a third next year.
That's not bad.
I think I did pretty okay. And then,
What do you think about the trade I made? I got rid of Antonio Brown, and I got Ronald Jones, Jarvis Landry, and a first for next year.
I don't think you got nearly enough.
You were offering me Howard and Marvin Jones, and that's not as good as what I got from.
I think Howard and Marvin Jones is a better trade, but then again, Marvin Jones' stock is
plummeted
over the last few weeks. So
yeah. So let's go straight into news real quick. The biggest news that just came out is JJ has headed to IR. We'll get more into who to pick up. But right now, just off the top of my head, I'm leaning Smallwood because he has looked the best. What about you, Brito?
It would be Smallwood for the temporary and long-term Clement.
I'm pretty sure this is the last time we'll see JJ as a Philadelphia Eagle. He's his contract here and he's out the door, I think. It's safe to say. That's
fair. Yeah. I would also like to mention I would not be surprised if the Eagles sign someone to compete for that spot, but I do think that in a couple weeks, Clement will be back healthy, and it'll be his job. But if you're looking for somebody for right now, then Smallwood might be the guy.
There is a rookie they have on their practice squad. They've been activating every time someone's out, and he's been they like him a lot over there. So that's someone to keep track of as he progresses. But yeah, we'll continue with that. So Breida is going to be out week 6. Did I say that right, Matt Breida?
Matt Breida. No, yeah. Breida's right. Yep.
I don't know. My thoughts on this are when he plays, trade him away. But right, I don't want him on roster. He's constantly getting injured, and you can't trust him moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, he looks good when he's out there. He's too small to stay healthy in a heavy workload scenario. And then Alf just isn't as good. But if Alf is going to get all the work, you kind of like him a little bit, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely worth starting this week. They have Raheem Morissett, and they also have someone on their practice squad, and Kyle Jasuski. So there's a couple guys that might move up the pecking order as the season progresses. But I think for the short term, Alpha Morse is definitely the guy to have. Beyond that, I think it's just a toss-up between Raheem and, you know, Kyle and the rookie they have on the roster.
And I'd say getting 3/4 of the work. I mean, Rita left when in the second quarter.
Yeah.
After that, Alfred Morris got 18 carries and 5 targets. If you're going to get 23 opportunities to touch the ball, that's going to be good. I think but at the end of the day, it's going to look like, I don't know, 10 points, 11 points in standard.
I think they'll adjust. I don't think it's going to be that one-sided with Breida out. I think they're going to adjust and get Kyle more involved. I mean, Kyle had what? He had 7 targets. So in PPR, Kyle's probably the better play now that Breida's going to be out.
Can you try to say Juszczyk? I think that's how you say it. Juszczyk? I have no idea.
The guy
with the bunch of fucking weird letters in his name. You know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, Kyle. I'm going to call him KJ. No one goes by KJ.
Kyle is okay. I was worried people wouldn't know who Kyle is.
Moving on to, we have two tight ends coming back this week. There's a good chance we have Greg Olsen possibly coming back week six, and we also have Evan Engram probably coming back. So if you've been holding on to him, I think that's good news. But I think the guy to start over both of those is Cameron Brate, just throwing that out there now. I think he's still a better tight end with O.J. Howard being out.
Sure. I mean, I think I would play Evan Engram above, but maybe that's just based on talent and not necessarily opportunity. But I think you'll be fine with both.
Yeah. Kendall Wright has signed with the Cardinals. I don't think that's that means anything at all. No. Okay. If Le'Veon Bell is with the Steelers week seven, they're going to go running back by committee. How does that
for a week? Maybe.
Do you think they just phase out Connor altogether, even though he's been
completely? Yeah. This has always been the Pittsburgh Steelers' MO is to give one running back 90%+ of the carries every week. So I think there might be a week where they split carries. And by split carries, I'm thinking more Connor than Bell. And then after that, it's the Bell show again.
I don't disagree with you. I think Connor will still have value for the first two or three weeks after, but I think they'll probably phase him out. I think he's going to end up getting traded. I mean, they're going to wait until the bye week. I think they're going to move him. I don't think this is the last time we'll see Connor as the RB1 of that team. But if I do see him going a little longer than just 1 week with just, you know, splitting the work if they end up going that way. I think that's all the big news, Burrito. Is there anything else I might have missed?
No, but we need to update our pictures on our website because, man, they are awful.
Yeah.
We got to do, you know, the classic picture that Dale hates, like fantasy analysts holding football.
Oh, yeah.
We got to do some of those.
Okay. That's just a good idea.
Our poses of ourselves holding footballs.
Oh, a couple other pieces of news.
I thought you said there was no more news.
I was going to say ASJ, Austin Safarian Jenkins is going on IR. Devontae Parker is on the trading block, which I think is big news. And Lamar Miller is probably going to play next week. So that's, even though he was active, he should actually have a role next week. Does any of those spark anything in you at all?
Do you worry if you're a Lamar Miller owner? He was just he was active, but he just didn't play, obviously, because he was hurt.
Yo, I just traded Lamar Miller away last week for a pretty much a high-end defense for next year. That's what I think about Lamar Miller. Okay? Let's be real. I think Lamar Miller is – the best days are behind him. I think Alfred Blue is going to get more than 50% of the work next week. And then moving forward, Deontay Foreman should chop into that, if not take the role completely away. I mean, they think highly of him, and so they put him on pop, get him ready for the rest of the season. So I think it is Foreman's job.
Yeah, it's a good time to maybe try to trade for Foreman in a dynasty league or a keeper league.
Yeah, I grabbed him in ours last week, so I am ecstatic. And I own him in our SFB league, and I've been holding on to him all season.
Okay.
All right, that does it for the news. You want to jump into the waiver wire?
Let's jump into the waiver wire.
So, do we have a song for this, or we don't really do music anymore?
I don't know, man. Dale can add something if he wants. He's not jumping, going to, but...
Can we sing a song? Jumping into the waiver wire. That's good. Waiver wire, week six. Brought to you by Clayton Cadu. Follow him at Clayton Cadu. Or no, Cadu Clayton. Dukes. I love that shit.
Nobody knows how to spell your name, man.
Poor kid. He should change it. This is America.
Yeah, but he's Canadian. Big CC.
Big caca. Okay. So I'm going to throw the names at you. Jameis Winston is finally coming back to be the starter. He's the first guy we have on our list. Who are you dropping for Jameis Winston if you own him in any, if you need a quarterback in any league?
Eli Manning.
Uh-huh. That's, yeah. Case Keenum.
Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to pick up the place where Fitzpatrick left off? You think he's going to be like, you know, 30-point guy? No, or you think
he's not going to be what Fitzpatrick was, but I think this team does have an identity this year, which is we're going to throw the ball because we don't trust any of our running backs. And that's going to bode well for him in fantasy leagues. And it's going to look okay. But I think you're getting a top 18 starter as a quarterback, and you're getting him for free because nobody's even thinking about him.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I think Ryan Tannehill is droppable right now because he goes against the Bears. But in the right matchup, like against the Lions or the New England Patriots when they're at home, I think he could be usable. But right now, I think he is completely droppable. Next guy we're going to talk about is Baker Mayfield. He threw for 340 yards and one touchdown last week. He's going to have way better matchups moving forward. I think he is like, you know, bye week fill-in depending on matchups for sure.
This one's kind of, do you feel like this maybe is hard to trust or?
Well, I don't look, he has the Chargers, the Bucks, and the Steelers. None of those defenses right now scare you. I think the Chargers are going to improve, and I think the Steelers are going to be improve as well. But for the next 3 weeks, he's definitely like startable for the right matchups.
Last 2 weeks, I mean, Baltimore's defense looked solid, and even then, 342 passing yards, 23 rushing yards, only the one touchdown. I think you worry about Cleveland maybe scoring, but he looks good. He looks, I mean, like competent. Yeah. 295 yards the week before.
Yeah.
And then when he led them to their first win with the over the Jets on that Thursday night, 201 yards passing in just a half of football. So he does look very competent. I just worry that you're going to finally trust him and he's going to lay a dud because he's a rookie quarterback. But he's got all the weapons. He's got whatever he needs to be able to produce as a quarterback. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm not saying start him week in and week out, bench, you know, bench Jared Goff, bench Carson Wentz. But if they're on their bye, like they will be in the coming weeks, you know, I think he's definitely usable in that way. Nothing more, nothing less, as of right now.
Okay.
So going into the running backs, we have Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement and Darren Sproles. All, who are you taking between those three right now to fill in the J.J. role?
I personally would probably take Clement because he was questionable to play this week. I think he maybe misses one more week, and he's the guy after that.
Yeah.
Even then, maybe it's 2 weeks. But the thing is, sometimes you're in a situation like I was for the first 4 weeks of the season, desperate for Mark Ingram to come back, and you just need a guy for a couple weeks. That's a lot of times you just need a guy for a couple weeks. And if you can spend a quarter of your fab budget and get that guy, you can spend 30% of your fab budget, is it worth two potential wins? I mean, we've seen what guys like TJ Yeldon have done in a couple weeks when they've been given the full workload, right? Yeldon's been amazing. Can Wendell Smallwood be that? I don't quite think so. I don't think the orientation of the pass run is quite there, but I think you're getting a serviceable starter in Smallwood for 2 weeks. I think you're getting a 10 to 12 point starter in a standard league. So we saw him get 71 yards, a touchdown. So I like him for a couple weeks. I don't think he's going to supplant completely Clement on the depth chart, but right, if I can get a guy for a couple, like that's great. Sometimes it's exactly what you need for your fantasy team. It just depends on how much you're willing to spend. I think you might go the other way on this. You think it might be Smallwood?
I think it's Smallwood. He has been the one performing as of late. I think he's a safer option, especially for the number one waiver wire. I think Wendell Smallwood has the most value. If you don't need a running back, you waiver him, you trade him. Corey Clement, he was active. He didn't do anything. He's injured. So I think he's just more of a long-term answer. But I think if you dig it even deeper, I think Josh Adams is probably the most interesting guy, especially in Dynasty and Keeper League format. He is the youngest guy. He's on the practice squad. He was activated this week and he only had one carry. But in week three, when JJ was out, he had six carries for 30 yards. So I think he's the most interesting if you're looking more of a long term. But I think right now Wendell Smallwood's probably the safer option, and then Corey Clement is probably, you know, you'll get some work out of him, you know, in like 3 weeks when he's 100% healthy. But I think they'll lean on Smallwood a little more than some people might expect as of right
now. For those of you wondering about the situation and just kind of looking at the depth chart, technically Darren Sproles is the first guy on the depth chart after JHI. He's second on the list.
Yeah.
Now that's because of his role. He's kind of that third down-ish back that kind of mixes it in. Very heavy in a pass-catching role. I don't think Darren Sproles' role changes one bit.
No, he has. He's injured and hasn't really done anything since week one. So right now, Darren Sproles isn't even questionable. Right. Like, don't get it. So
the next guy on the depth chart, so if we're going to go by that, is Clement.
Right.
And then fourth on that list is two names combined, Smallwood and Josh Adams. So take that for what it's worth. I can see Armando's scenario happening. That's why it's maybe a little frustrating, especially if Smallwood looks good over these next 2 weeks. So it's very possible that that's the right answer. I just, in fantasy, I tend to try to think long term, you know, what's going to benefit me season, you know, week 10 through 16. But sometimes you can't wait that long.
Yeah, it all depends on your roster construction. If you're set at running back, I think Josh Adams is a safer guy to grab. You know, don't even waste a waiver. Just grab him when the waiver is clear. Wendell Smallwood for trade bait. Clement for the midterm. That's, you know, I don't know if that's too much detail. But the next guy on our list is Deontay Foreman. He hasn't been activated. He's on the PUP list, but he's coming back from an Achilles injury. Lamar Miller has been, what, inadequate, terrible, injured, pathetic? Does all that sum up Lamar Miller? Did I miss anything?
Damn. Those are some harsh words. He's been subpar.
Subpar. He's been subpar. So, and Alfred Blue played on Sunday night. He looked good. But I think this is Deontay Foreman's job to have when he returns.
Okay.
Do you agree?
I think this is another very good prospective pickup.
Yes. I don't think he's going to have a lot of value right out the gate, but as the season progresses and people start getting banged up, I think Deontay Foreman is going to be really, really nice.
Let's talk about this next running back, because I think this one is a hugely interesting one.
Go.
Mike Davis.
Yeah.
After he put up over 100 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns, 23 yards receiving in week 4 against Arizona, you just kind of assumed he's going to take a back seat because Chris Carson came back. And Carson looked really good. But Mike Davis also looked really good. It seems like Seattle has finally, over the last couple weeks, found their running game a little bit. And all they had to do was not fucking use Rashad Penny. which I guess is really frustrating as a Rashad, you know, if you're a Rashad Penny owner. But it seems like they're going to continue for the next few weeks to roll with the combo of Davis. Well, Davis is the second guy, probably, right, with Carson being the first guy. So I think Mike Davis is a very interesting ad, because even though Carson looked great, he's still a little banged up too.
Right.
So he could miss another game at any time, and then you've got a great play in Mike Davis.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I mean, for them to win games, they need to run the ball. I mean, yep. Chris Carson's getting 19 carries. Mike Davis is going to get 12. I think that Mike Davis is flex worthy, and Chris Carson is going to be an RB2 moving forward. And Chris Carson is banged up, and he will continue to get banged up. I don't think he can carry the load the entire season. So even if you don't need a running back now, Mike Davis could easily take the role as a full-time back, you know, in the near future.
Right.
So and even if he does nothing this week, the coming weeks, I think he's definitely worth holding on to, because Rashad Penny has lost, I don't know, his glow, his grace. I don't know. What was I going to say?
And not enough weight.
Yeah.
Anyways, and that's coming from me. And they play Oakland this week, so I think that's a good ad there. And Chris Carson, I'm looking at it from NFL. It might depend on your league, but he's owned in 3% of NFL leagues. He's owned, and yeah, I guess Yahoo leagues are better on their shit, or maybe they have more accurate reporting. He's only owned in 19% of Yahoo leagues, so he is super widely available, is Mike Davis.
Yeah, I can see him slipping through the cracks, especially since, you know, he didn't go crazy on the ground. But I think that, you know, if he clears a waiver wire, he's definitely worth grabbing right away.
He could totally be a guy that just completely clears your waivers, or a guy that you, you know, if you're, you need a running back that you might get, if you're 10th on the waiver position, you might very well get him.
Yeah. Okay. Next guy. Clay didn't put this guy down. LeGarrette Blount. Kerryon Johnson did go down with an ankle injury. He didn't return to the game. He says he's fine. They are in a bye week this coming week, so it's something to keep track of. And if you are desperate for running back, I think LeGarrette Blount will carry the load. Amir Abdullah is an afterthought at this point. So, you know, LeGarrette Blount and Theo Riddick will probably, you know, get a little more value moving forward if Kerryon Johnson misses any time.
Kerryon's going to be fine. This is just one of those prospective ads to, you know, just in case he's not.
Right.
But Kerryon's fine.
And I think so, too.
I wouldn't waste my time with Blount.
I don't think so, either. Unless Kerryon Johnson goes on IR, I don't think Blunt's going to have any value whatsoever. I think they'll just throw the ball a lot more if he's out for a week. Just a lot more. And Theo Riddick will be involved. So with Breida possibly missing next week, Raheem Morissette, I told him to add this guy. I feel like there's no way Alfred Morris carries the load. I think it's going to be Raheem. He's going to get involved somewhat as well. Even though he did fumble last week, I think he might have a little bit of value. Do you want to talk a little about this? Or?
I'm kind of on that it's going to be the Alf show, man.
Yeah.
I really do think it's going to be the Alf show. The problem is I don't know if that's going to be good enough for fantasy owners, but I do think the opportunity will be there, if you get me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if Alfred Morris is good enough for that opportunity to turn into something super valuable. You're just kind of hoping he gets into the end zone, or maybe does a little bit of what he's not used to, which is catch the ball, which he actually did a little bit of this past week.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about Raheem Mostert's skill set in terms of receiving, right? That might just all fall on the fullback. KJ. Kyle.
What's up, Kyle? Hey, Kyle.
This is one of those long shot ads to me. If you're just in a super deep league and you need somebody to add, you know, available everywhere. I don't think you're going to find a league that he's not available unless you're in a 16-team dynasty.
Who are we talking
about? Seven running back.
Who are we talking about again?
Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth a waiver ad. I think he's definitely worth an ad if you're desperate for a running back and you miss out on someone like Alfred Morris.
Spend a dollar. You can spend a dollar if you have fab.
Exactly. That's all. If you could do chain, just throw a penny in there. You know, like 0.1. 10 cents, nickel and dime it. Let's go on to wide receivers. I don't think we have a couple guys on the list. I don't think any of them are must adds on the waiver wire. I think you could probably just save your waiver wire if you're looking for a wide receiver and just get him off. But the main guy is Robbie Anderson. He had 3 catches. I think he had 5 targets this week. He had 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, don't expect that every week. He's just like Kenny Stills or any other deep threat. He'll have great weeks and he'll have awful weeks. If you throw him on your lineup, he might win you a week, but he will definitely lose you a week here and there. Do you agree?
Yeah, this is going to be one of those scenarios where he, at the end of the year, will look like a decent wide receiver, but man, 2 out of the 3 weeks, it's not going to be good.
No. I mean, he's had 2 weeks, so he's only had 2 good weeks thus far. His first week where he caught 1 catch for a touchdown, and this week.
Right. Exactly. It's not trustable, man. 3 catches and 2 of them are touchdowns. Like, I can't trust it.
Yeah. The other guys he has on the list is Mohamed Sanu. Personally, I don't think he's worth adding at the moment. I mean, this is what he does. He goes in and out, game plays. Like, he might be usable at 1 week, but are you going to get lucky and start up that week?
No.
No. So don't.
The wide receiver waivers are much thinner this week. But I do want to go down this list a little bit because I think there's a couple of interesting games coming up.
Oh yeah, these two guys are interesting. Go ahead and kick off from these.
All right, so a couple of guys. One guy that I think is just going to get better as the season goes along. I think he's going to have more and more impact as the season goes along. Let's remember he's still just a rookie, but wide receiver DJ Moore for the Carolina Panthers. Four targets, 49 yards. They got him involved. He got 18 yards rushing. They tried to get him the ball a few times, and he looks like he's going to be the type of guy that gets more volume as the season goes along. And he's available in Yahoo in over 80% of the leagues. You could put a couple bucks on him in a fab, or he might clear your waivers in most leagues. So he's a guy that you could pick up pretty much for free, and I think end of season might have some value as a flex play.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Okay. Who's the next guy?
The next guy I want to talk about, particularly because of and I want to talk about somebody that's not on here, by the way, that I think we need to address based on the production over the last few weeks, or basically on the production of the season so far, catching one touchdown in 4 out of 5 games so far this season, and having at least 53 receiving yards in every single game, and that's Tyler Lockett.
Bro, he's owned in way too many leagues to be on the waiver.
He is. I understand that, but I'm looking at a lot of leagues right now that I'm personally in. I'm looking at NFL ownership percentage, and he's available in 63% of leagues.
That's a lot, actually.
That's a lot. And I'm looking at some of my personal leagues. So I think this is just more, he's probably gone in a lot of more competitive leagues, but some guys are available in some leagues and some guys are not. But this is a guy, I think it's worth talking about, a guy who's available in more than half of leagues. So maybe there's some dead leagues that I'm referencing. Maybe there's leagues that were drafted and not played out. But Tyler Lockett has looked consistently good this season. Never has been a huge play, right? But every single week you're getting 50, 60, 70 yards, and he's scoring more often than not. Especially while Doug Baldwin doesn't look like himself, Tyler Lockett is a guy. One more guy who a lot of people dropped. He was drafted in a lot of leagues, but then he was dropped very widely, is Jordy Nelson.
That's a good one. I'll give you props for that one.
And so he started the season off rough, 23 yards, 30 yards. Since then, he's put up a touchdown in every game, with one of those games being a 173-yard receiving performance. So keep an eye out. It seems like he's a guy that Derek Carr really likes. So these are not as widely available as some of the guys that we're discussing on waivers. Some of the guys that we're discussing on waivers might be very widely available because a lot of people either dropped them or never drafted them, and that's why they're on our list, because they're consistently available. But those are just a couple names that I wanted to mention, because sometimes you're in a more shallow league, or you're in a league that maybe somebody's not paying attention, and you can scoop, you know, a Tyler Lockett up.
Yeah, no, I dropped Jordy one league. I was off his boat after the third week. I don't regret it, but it's a PPR league, so I don't have as much interest in him. Okay. But yeah, no, he's been really good, especially recently.
Let's talk about this last name. Yep.
Yeah. Marquez Valdez-Scantling. We kind of agree and disagree on him right now. I think out of the rookies, he's definitely the one to own. He had 7 receptions for 68 yards and a touchdown. Go ahead.
I think we came to a pretty good consensus because Armando, you and I were talking back and forth about his value, because this whole week I was unsure whether or not to play him. And ultimately I sat him. I played Kenny Stills. That was a mistake. But I guess the numbers said otherwise. However, I'm looking at it, right? 10 targets. If Cobb and Allison are both out for any extended amount of time, Valdez Scantling is going to be I think exactly what you saw this week. Seven receptions, 68 yards, a touchdown. He looked good, and he almost caught another touchdown. He available in 91% of Yahoo leagues. I think this is really going to come down to if Allison is out.
Yeah.
I think that's really the question on whether or not you can play MBS, which he needs to change that Scantling to a P, and then we can call him MVP.
MVP.
Because that would be good.
Okay, that's good. I think he's the only rookie that has caught a ball in three games. I think Brown didn't catch a ball, St. Brown, until this game. I think I agree with you. I think he's a handcuff to Allison and Adams. If either one misses time, I think he's worth starting. I don't think Cobb has any value.
That can't be right because of Calvin Ridley.
No, I meant on the Packers because they drafted three rookies.
Sorry, my bad.
I have misspoke.
I'm just like the first person to come to my head.
Calvin Ridley. Christian Kirk.
Caught a ball like over 3 weeks. I thought you meant like 3 weeks in a row or something.
And I'm sorry. I misspoke. Yeah, he's the only Green Bay rookie wide receiver that has caught a ball in three games. The other two have not, besides St. Brown, who caught one this week or two this week. But yeah, I think he's a handcuff to Davante Adams and Allison. If either one misses time, he's definitely worth starting. Yeah.
This is one of those few teams that I think you can handcuff the wide receivers.
Yeah. I think Cobb's worth cutting at this point. Do you agree with that?
I don't think he's worth much right now.
No.
I would rather have Scantling than Cobb.
Oh, yeah. The upside's tremendous. Cobb has no upside. He's dead weight at this point.
That's harsh, but truth.
He's like Lamar Miller.
Damn, son.
Lamar Miller. I used to love that guy. Shit.
Can we actually, speaking of the Texans, because you mentioned this, and I want to take 2 seconds to talk about the Texans receivers.
Three of them?
Yeah. Obviously, you are going to start DeAndre Hopkins every single week. And my assumption coming into this week was you could do the same thing with Will Fuller. However, Will Fuller was banged up this week. He was active, but he only had 3 targets, and Kuti, the rookie, I've heard that name pronounced like 8 different ways. I don't know if I'm saying
it. Kuti, it's Kiki Kuti.
Whatever. Kuti. I got Kuti's. No, because I got all those shots when I was in elementary school. I can't possibly have Kuti's.
Wait. You got circle, circle, or dot, and dot?
No. Both. Circle, circle, dot, dot. Now I have the cootie shot.
Shit, I only got the dot, dot. That's why. Ooh, shit.
Anyways, so the emergence of cootie, is that just because Fuller was banged up? Or is this a guy that maybe is...
I mean, they play different positions on the Texans. If that makes sense. I mean, they both play wide receiver, but Kiki is playing the slot. Fuller is a deep threat. And DeAndre Hopkins is a man.
How often do you think he hears people say, "Do you love me?"
Who?
Kiki.
I don't know. Where's
Kiki?
This go? Where's this? Is this a song?
Are you serious?
Yeah. What the fuck is going on right now? He's freaking me out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude.
Oh my god, dude. Are you serious?
Yeah.
It by Feelings by Drake.
Look, I
it's pop literally culture. It literally became a trend where people were dancing outside of their cars while the vehicle was moving to this song. You don't know what the song is?
I have no fucking idea. I've heard of what is it? A fire station when you stop at a red light and run around your car? Is that what it's called?
By the way, Mark Ingram has 2 touchdowns.
I was gonna ask you about that.
I'm so happy he's back.
Look, but that's not.
I waited so long.
Look, it has 23 yards.
He has 43 yards. Let's not forget that he receives, and it's still the second quarter.
Okay, I agree.
43 yards and 2 touchdowns. Please do not diminish that. I'm so happy.
I think Alvin Kamara is back down to earth. He's just a running back. A mid range.
He's still a mid-range RB1.
Yeah. No, I think he's
he's not the second best running back in fantasy anymore.
No, I think personally, and this is why I ranked him at the start of the season, I think he's a low-end RB1. And I think without when Ingram is there, he's going to be that. And Ingram is.
I think they're both low end RB1s. And if either one of them is out, then the remaining guy is the RB2 in fantasy.
Yes, 100% agree. I don't think Ingram is. I'm not as high on Ingram this year as you are. I think what you're seeing these numbers, I think, is probably what you're going to get the rest of the season, minus the touchdowns. I think he's going to end up with like 50 yards and 30 yards receiving, give or take. And you a touchdown here and there. Yeah, sure, you can have these two touchdowns, but I think he's more of like an 8-point guy, not counting the touchdowns.
Okay, but there's...
There's a lot of touchdowns to be had on the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think there's a lot of touchdowns to be had, and they're going to be very distributed between three guys.
Four guys.
Who's the fourth guy?
Cameron Meredith. I want to talk about... Can we talk about this before we go on tight ends?
Fine. Let's talk about Cameron Meredith.
Cameron Meredith has been pretty good since he started playing for the Saints. You know, he was out the first couple weeks, but he's out targeting
Michael Thomas this game. But then we have to give Dale credit.
Wait.
Do you really want to give Dale credit?
Wait, did he say something about Cameron Meredith?
Yeah, he was on Cameron Meredith like all offseason.
You know what? Guys, just go ahead and pick up Traquan Smith.
Go ahead and pick up Ted Ginn.
Yeah, don't
even though he was inactive.
Yeah, you just don't even worry about Cameron Meredith. Look, this is a thing. If Dale likes a player, he does bad. Like this, it's gonna be short lived. Very short lived. Trust me.
By the way, my flag plant guys for the year are all looking pretty good so far.
God, I just shank that. My only guy that's doing good is Melvin Gordon. One guy's I cut Robbie Henderson. The other guy was Tyrod Taylor lost his job.
Oh, wow. Anyways.
God, why do we got to talk about this? Oh, my God.
Sorry. Yeah. Let's move on.
So
Cameron Meredith.
Yes.
You just sprung that on me. I don't have any... anything on Meredith right now to talk about? Let me just pull up his stats over the last...
Well, you pull it up real quick, and I'll talk about the tight ends that are on our waiver wire. So, like I mentioned before, ASJ... 53
receiving yards right now, not even at the half yet.
ASJ's on IR, guys. Pick up Nyles Paul. He looked really good. He had 9 targets for 7 receptions and 65 yards. This is a team that is kind of... crumbling in front of us, but they have some decent matchups with the Texans and Eagles and Colts coming up. So if they're going to be tossing the ball a lot with Fournette out, I think Nyles Paul is probably a low-end tight end one if you're desperate. And just a speculative ad moving forward.
It's not a bad ad, especially, I mean, their tight end position is a hard one to figure out. And if you're going to have a guy that gets 9 targets, like, pick him up. That's not going to... You know what I mean? Like 7 catches at the tight end position is...
Yeah, but this team is so fluky. Like they throw the ball to someone different every week. Dante Moncrief was the hot stuff this week. Next week might be D.D. Westbrook or it might be Keelan Cole.
Personally, can we talk about how good Travis Kelce is, by the way? I'm so happy that I have him.
Yeah, no, he's good. We don't need to talk. Everyone knows he's fucking elite.
Three 100-yard games in his first 5 games.
Can I just say I traded for him? I gave up Chris Hogan and Jimmy Graham for him.
That's a good trade.
Yeah. In a dynasty league. What the fuck was this guy thinking?
Yeah, that's a good job. I hate you.
I just sense shit, and sometimes it sticks.
George Kittle, by the way, is a beast, too. I just want to throw that out there.
Wait, weren't you supposed to be talking about Cameron Meredith, dude?
What?
Aren't we supposed to be talking about Cameron Meredith?
Yeah, I know. I thought we already moved on to tight ends. Yeah, we did, because you started talking about
I was going to look for that.
Dude, listen, man. I'm really out of practice. I haven't recorded a podcast in like 2 weeks. On top of that, I really honestly should be taking medication for my attention deficit. That's not even a joke. But I don't. So I have a hard time staying on one subject, which is really good for a podcast.
Yeah. Okay. I said, I'll tell you guys about tight ends while you look up Cameron Meredith.
Okay. I did. And I actually closed it out by
now. Don't worry. I got some stuff here. I
was saying he has 53 receiving yards already and they're not even at the half.
Right.
Like that's a good sign for weeks to come, especially like Ted Ginn's hurt. We don't know how long Ted Ginn's going to be out with a knee injury. Cameron Meredith could be, I mean,
he's a speculative ad. I don't think he's worth a waiver wire ad just yet. Especially he's probably, we've he was cut
speculative so many times. That's the name of this episode. Speculative ads.
I don't know why waiver wire. It's just me. I don't know why I'm saying that. It's like, instead of saying, I'm saying speculative.
Speculative. Oh man, I have Damar Miller in our dynasty league. I just looked at that.
I'm sorry. Place. I just talked some mad shit about him too. Too honest.
Yeah, I have Kareem Hunt and Jordan Howard and Alex Collins though, so I'll be fine.
Who was the other one? Kareem Hunt, Alex Collins. You should be scared of. What's the other one?
Jordan Howard. I'll be fine with Kareem Hunt and Jordan Howard.
No, you're fine in there. Yeah.
Roll those out.
No, I'm like 3 years from having good running backs. I have Kerryon and Ronald Jones as my running backs, and Kenyon Drake. It's rough. Oh, did he just another touchdown for the Saints? 26-6 right now. Jesus Christ.
And it's still the second quarter. Who scored this time?
Traquan Smith.
Oh, look at that. Not Cameron Meredith. Oof. His name should be not Cameron Meredith.
Maybe Traquan's worth the waiver wire ad. Two for 76. That's not bad.
Did I drop him in Dynasty? No, I have him on my team. Never mind. He's on my team.
That'd be a mistake.
It
would be a mistake. Okay, our last tight end we needed to talk about was Ryan Griffin.
Okay, go ahead.
He went 6 for 9 for 65 yards against the Cowboys. Again, like we talked about Niles Paul, that's pretty good for a tight end. And if you're desperate, if you ended up losing OJ and you need a fucking tight end this week, I think Ryan Griffin's a good filler. He got some Bills, Jags, and Dolphins moving forward. So, you know, based on matchups, he's worth adding. In fab, I wouldn't waste more than a dollar, to be honest.
Okay. Can I give you one more speculative ad at the tight end position?
Yeah.
Second year or third year? Third year tight end? Second year.
He's on the IR. Jake Butt?
Man, I should know this off the top of my
head. Who is it?
Austin Hooper. Is he in his third year?
Yeah, I think he's in his fourth year, dude.
Third year. I'm gonna put money on third year.
Okay.
Tell me, he's third year.
Austin Hooper.
Third year.
He was born in 1994. He's 23 years old. Drafted in 2016, round 3.
Boom.
Pick 81.
Year. Awesome. So, third year tight end, Austin Hooper, who had 12 targets on Sunday. 12 targets. Now, granted, the Steelers suck against tight ends. But guess what? Tampa Bay does too. Tampa Bay sucks against anybody catching the ball. So
yeah.
Austin Hooper next week. Put some money on that.
Just fire up anyone that's wearing an Atlanta Falcons jersey next week and is playing offense. It doesn't matter. Ito Smith, fire him up. You don't know who Ito Smith is?
Yeah, he's a third string running back.
He's the shit, dude. He's going to take the job from Devontae Freeman next year.
And Tevin Coleman's gone this year, too. So.
Oh, then he's taking the job from Tevin Coleman. Ito Smith looks awesome.
Tevin Coleman is a super interesting dynasty guy because I think that wherever he goes, he has the opportunity to potentially be a top 12 back.
Whoa. Hold your horses. He's like the Jarrett McKinnon. He could be good, but he could not be good.
That's fair. By the way, I think just seeing how good Matt Breida has been, and Matt Breida is nothing special, Jerick McKinnon was going to have a really good year.
Jerick McKinnon is nothing special.
He's nothing special, but he's better than Matt Breida.
Well, okay. I can't argue. I don't know. They're both mediocre in my books. Watch Alpha. Alpha Morris is going to be the shit this now.
All right. By the way, can we just... One more thing I want to talk about. Can we talk about how my boy has 5 touchdowns already this year?
Who?
Eric Ebron.
He's your boy? You put him on your list?
No, he wasn't on my list this... Well, he was on my list last year. And he sucked last year. But he's consistently good this year, man. 5 touchdowns already on the season.
Do you think that's sustainable, though? Like, in real life, do you think like he can really continue to do that?
I think he ends the year with double-digit touchdowns.
Okay. He's not that far off from that.
There you go. I think that's all you can possibly ask for of him.
He's tight end two right now. He's had, I think he's really good trade bait. Like, if you can do Eric Ebron and a good wide receiver for someone like Zach Ertz, I would do it.
I think he finishes the year with 750 yards and 10 touchdowns. And that's like
tight end. That's a lot, Brito.
Tight end three.
That's a lot. He had a good game. He got a good game against Patriots.
He's on pace right now for 816 yards and 16 touchdowns. So I'm saying he regresses a little bit. Obviously, I don't think this is as good as he is, but Eric Ebron's a top five tight end.
You think so? You rather have so who are the top five guys right now? I guess he is. Fuck, he really is. You got Gronk, Kelsey, Ertz. He really is a top five tight end.
Exactly. It's a sucky position, bro.
I guess Joku, maybe, if you want to throw him in there as the season progresses.
Kittle. You got to put Kittle in there.
Kittle, yeah.
You got to put Kittle. And then I personally, my list, if I had to draft tight ends right now, would be Kelsey, Gronk, Ertz.
I think I'd rather have Ertz.
Kittle, Rudolph. That would be the list.
Oh, Rudolph. Yeah, okay. I'd rather have Rudolph.
I think Rudolph is going to turn it up with some touchdowns these next few weeks. Only two touchdowns through five games. And he's still a top, what is he right now? Tight end six? He's tight end six right now. That guy is going to finish with at least eight touchdowns on the season. Kyle Rudolph is going to turn it up in these next few weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he's
going to. Put some money on that.
So if you're having him turn it up, who's dropping out of the top five? Because you have Kelsey, Ertz, Kittle, Gronk.
Cook is definitely dropping out of the top five. That's not sustainable. That's 180 yards he had in week one.
But he's been, I mean, yeah, okay, fine. What about the 110 yards he had week four?
Fair enough.
Oh, that guy's legit. Nah, he's not that. He's all right. He's like a mid-range tight end.
He's a tight end one.
Yeah, tight end. Mid-range, though. I would rather have the elites. He's a top.
Okay. It's simple enough. Would you rather have Jared Cook or Kyle Rudolph for the rest of the season? Because I would rather have Kyle Rudolph.
Oh, yeah. Kyle Rudolph, easy.
Okay. I would rather have Eric Ebron.
Okay. I don't even know why we're doing this. No one gives a fuck about tight ends. Who would you rather have?
A lot of people are struggling at tight end. I think we should go the other way. I think we should spend a little bit more time on tight end.
All right. Let me lead this because I got some ideas here. Okay. So we're going to skip on Kelsey, Gronk, Kittle, Ebron, because we kind of agree that that's going to happen, Ertz. Then we have Jimmy Graham and Trey Burton. I think this is where Jared Cook kind of falls. Who would you rather have between these three guys, Trey Burton, Jimmy Graham, or Jared Cook?
That's the group where he belongs.
Yeah.
And I think he's at the top end of that.
Jared Cook is?
Yeah. He's going to get some targets. I just don't think that offense is good enough, if you get me.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I don't think Jared Cook is the number three tight end at the end of the year, but he's definitely a solid top 10 guy.
And right.
I'd probably rather have him than Trey Burton, just because that's another guy who, while I think he's a better tight end, it's just that offense is just as bad. I know we saw that one week where they routed Tampa Bay, but man, Tampa Bay is the worst fucking team in football.
Yeah, no, I agree. So this is my list. I think I'd rather have Trey Burton, then Jared Cook, and then Jimmy Graham.
Defense in football. So I think their offense is not that bad, Tampa Bay.
No, their offense is fucking great, dude. They're putting up a lot of points.
Yeah, but their defense is horrendous.
Out of the guys that are in the top 10 right now, I think Jesse James is definitely not even worth rostering. Vance McDonald has proven that point. Do you agree with that?
I don't know about not rostering, but yeah, I think he's going to be left by the wayside for the most part, yeah. I do think, like I mentioned before, Austin Hooper is a guy that's still widely available, and it shouldn't be. You get a lot of guys out there. You're struggling at the tight end position. I understand that you're not going to get super consistent points every week, but at least for the next week and when the matchups are favorable, Austin Hooper is a good ad.
Yeah. So I agree with you on that. So we have what? 8 solid tight ends, and if you're in a 12-team league, there's 4 guys that are going to be struggling. Where does Njoku stand for you after, you know, the guys? Do you think he lands in Tier 1, Tier 2? Dale's saying he's elite. I'm saying he's probably – I think he's closer to, like, a high end of the Tier 2 for me with the upside.
High end Tier 2.
So that would put him with Jimmy Graham, Trey Burton. Who was the other guy? Cooks. Hooper.
Okay. Yeah, I think he's in that category. I think he's the most talented of that group.
Yeah.
Like, physical skill set. And I think there's going to be games like this last game where he had 11 targets that he has the opportunity, but I don't know that, again, that offense is not good enough and that it's not. And there's too many. Funny enough, the offense is not good enough and there's too many other weapons to feed.
Right. No, I agree. So where does Evan Ingram and Jordan Reed fit into this picture?
Yeah, so Jordan Reed is an interesting one because he's putting up an absolute dud right now, but he's been decent so far this season, 48, 55, and 65 receiving yards. But I think Evan Ingram is another guy that belongs in that top 10, but we haven't seen it because he's been banged up.
Yeah, he's had one good game so far.
Yeah, well, he hasn't really played.
Right,
But, you know, Evan Ingram, I think, belongs in that group of where, let's look at the list again, where Jared Cook and Jimmy Graham are.
I think he has the most upside out of everyone in that group.
Absolutely, absolutely.
He's available in some leagues right now. People have cut him because he has, I mean, when he did play, he was subpar. And then he got injured and they needed to move on. So I think if he's available, I think he's definitely worth the waiver wire. I'd rather have him versus anyone we've talked about besides Smallwood on the waiver wire.
I'm gonna give you one more just because of what has happened with Seattle's offense in the last 4 weeks. But Nick Vannett with Disley going on to IR. I think, and he had 43 receiving yards this past week, played 50 of the 60 offensive snaps. I think he might be a guy that's like next man up, and where I'm obviously talking much deeper here, but I think there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, that's a very good speculative ad.
Okay.
We're just fucking trolls, aren't we? I think that's about it, man. Do you want to keep talking about tight ends? Because I got some more stuff to ask.
We spent so much time on tight ends, but I think it's good because a lot of times I'm looking at leagues and I just don't know what to do. I'll give you one last speculative ad. The question with Tyler Eifert being out was, is it going to be Kraft or is it going to be Ozuma? So far after 1 week, though, Ozuma. Two catches. 43 yards. It did not look great for either one. 3 targets combined. But it was an odd game in Cincinnati this week against Miami, with Cincinnati scoring 2 defensive touchdowns and coming back from 17 down. Scoring 27 unanswered points. So it was, obviously I'm a very angry Dolphins fan.
Me too.
Anyways,
Okay.
Ozuma,
here we go. Here,
outpaced him 2-1 in targets.
Here we go.
That's all I'm going to say.
Let me just get into this real quick. Okay, I'm going to take.
I don't want to talk about the Dolphins.
I'm not going to talk about the Dolphins. Don't worry, I'm not going to do that to you.
I just don't want to do it.
Never mind. Okay, so I'm going to take Cameron Brate out of the equation. I'm going to give you 4 guys. The 2 guys we talked about earlier were Niles Paul and Ryan Griffin. Then there's also Ricky Seals-Jones, CJ Uzma. And I would put Jeff Swain in
that. I love hearing you say names that you have no idea.
Yeah. fuck you. So can you rate those guys? I think I missed one more. And I want to say Jeff Swain. So Swain, Uzuma, Ricky Seals, and then our 2 waiver wire ads. Can you rank those for
so
me?
So I want to say Swain is the ultimate if you just need 5 points.
Yeah.
If you just want to roll someone out, and you want to get 5 targets for 55 yards, which is exactly what you're going to get, like he did against Houston. And once every 5 weeks he's going to score a touchdown, that's Jeff Swaim.
Yeah.
What are the other options?
Jeff Swaim, Uzuma. Uzuma, RSJ, Naspal.
Trusting the tight end for Cincy until I see who's the better tight end.
So can you rate them for me? Would you? Who are the five? Give me them in order. Okay, Uzuma.
I'm gonna write. Give me the list.
Okay. RSJ.
RSJ.
CJ. Uzuma. Uzuma. Uzuhoma. Uzuma. Jeff Swaim.
Who's going to be he's going to be right in the middle no matter what.
Ryan Griffin.
Okay.
Niles Paul.
Niles Paul.
And first. I'll throw Nick Vinette in there too because you mentioned him.
I'll go Niles Paul first. There was one name that I missed. Was it the one right before him?
Oh, Niles Paul and the other guy in our Ryan Griffin.
Okay, Griffin.
And right. Nick Vinette.
Griffin. I would put. Damn, Swaim is actually going to end up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's going to be high up there, isn't he?
He's going to be second on that list, I think. I'm going to go Niles Paul, Swaim, Griffin, Vinette, RSJ, Uzuma.
Yeah, okay.
Seals Jones has been, that whole offense has been, ugh.
Yeah.
I can't deal with it. And no catches this past week just makes me bleh.
In the wind, too. In the wind.
I can't deal with it. I can't deal with a guy who's going to give me 0.0.
I guess Swaim, I'd rather have Swaim over him. All right.
Yep. I would go Niles Paul, Swaim, Vinette, RSJ, Uzuma.
Yeah, I'll probably go Swaim.
Oh, Ryan Griffin being third or fourth on that list.
I don't know.
This is really deep on tight end. We went too far.
I think this is like, you know, this is if you're the 12th guy and you don't have anyone we've talked about at this point besides, you know, like if you're just a guy just going through tight ends week to week.
Okay. But for this week, pick up Austin Hooper and OJ Howard.
Yes.
Not OJ Howard. Cameron Merritt. Cameron Brate. Oh, my God. You guys know what I meant. Jesus Christ, the brain farts I just had.
Kyle Bowler.
Not that tight end, the other tight end. But not that Cameron, the other Cameron.
TJ Hujimizada. All right. All right, guys.
Thank you so much, man.
Oh, we have a special guest here with us.
Hey, guys. It's me, Dale.
Should I read the ad in Dale's voice?
I've been talking to you for an hour, man. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Have a great night. Oh, and stay tuned for an ad.
Yeah. Eat, sleep, fantasy. You rocking with the best. NFL fantasy football podcast. We talking mock drafts. Running backs better follow. The conversation with Dale, Christian, and Armando. Screaming Eat Nation. We doing what we like. Tune in every week. Guaranteed we get it hype. Fantasy. Football enthusiasts, I know you plan to be joining us on Eat Sleep Fantasy. Yeah, Eat Sleep Fantasy. Woo! Uh-huh. Eat Sleep Fantasy.